those that hurt us. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We even have this warning in Scripture about showing forgiveness, and if we don't show forgiveness, we won't receive forgiveness. Matthew 6:15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I tell you what, God's got a better accounting machine of your mistakes than you have of others. I used to know this person in high school. They, in their locker and on their dresser, they kept post-it notes. Anytime anybody offended them, they'd put it on their, they'd put it either on the locker, or they'd put it on the dresser. I go, why do you do that? In case I forget. Well, that's healing. Or a reason for a CAT scan at your age. If it was that bad, you had to remember. You couldn't remember. If it's not bad enough for you to remember, it might not have been that bad. Right? But, now I can imagine. Do not give Scotty $20. He doesn't pay it. Like, I get that. But on such and such a day, somebody called me this name, and it's going to stay right there on the locker, stay right there on the dresser, until the day one of us dies. That's a horrible way to live. And yet we see that, don't we? We won't talk to them. We won't speak to them. But all of a sudden, something bad will happen, and we're like, oh, well, maybe I should reach out to them, make sure they know that we're good. That's not how that goes. We got to bury the hatchet. We got to learn how to let some things go, how to share some forgiveness, how to let go of our pride a little bit. Because ultimately, the conclusion that we come to is that bitterness, while yes, a right, is a mistake. Now, let me define to you what bitterness being a right means. He was, yes, abused by his brothers. He was harassed. He was rejected by them. He was assaulted by them. His father made him a nice coat. He wore that coat. They took that from him. They sold his physical body into slavery. When I was a kid, my brother and I used to rough around. One time I accidentally popped him in the face. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know what I've absolutely never done to my brother? Sold him into slavery. Come close. Mom and Dad would believe me. I know it. Mom and Dad would believe me. Something happened. Now, think of your autonomy. You have autonomy. Today, you'll go home. You want to go buy some food. You go buy some food. Tomorrow, you want to move some money around. You want to invest some money. You can do that. You've got options. You've got choices. You've never been physically sold off to be a work slave to somebody. If you have, let me know. I need to hear your life story. We've never had that. Joseph had the right to be bitter. And after all, isn't that what we're all up in arms in? I have the right to make my choices. I have the right to feel what I feel. You know what? You do. But just because you have the right to do it doesn't make it a healthy thing. Doesn't make it a good thing. Doesn't mean it's right for you. Just because it feels good, just because you think you're getting something out of it, doesn't make it good for you. Bitterness comes easy to us. All we've got to do is keep lighting that fire. Keep it warm. Keep it protected. Right? That anger that we have, that rejection that we have. He was abused by his brothers. He was abandoned by his brothers. He was. Growing up with mine, I know I don't talk about him much, but one time him and I got into a good argument on the school bus. It was good. I don't know what it was about, but I know I won. I got into the house before he did. Mom and Dad trusted me with a key. Mom and Dad didn't trust him with a key. Trusted me with a key. I got into the house. I locked the door behind him. I said, "You live outside now." And because of his age, he believed me. He's out there, he's sitting on the porch, being industrious as he is. He starts to move into the porch, right? He's got like a little thing from the backyard, a little rock he was going to lay down on, and he's got it all set up. And after a while, oh, okay, I'm kidding, come back in. And Mom and Dad are going to be home any second now, and if they catch you out here building a nest, I'm done for, get in here. They abandoned him. They put him in a hole. And they said, you know what? This relationship's over. Right? It wasn't that we're going to stop talking to you. It wasn't that we're going to run you off. We're going to put you into a dangerous situation. And we're never going to look back. I'm going to leave you in this hole. I'm going to sell you off into this danger. And I'm never going to check into you again. You think they ever went to go look for him? They did not. You think they ever again, and maybe they thought about it. Life, we see later in this conversation that finally broke Joseph down, that there was some lessons learned. How deep did it go? We don't know. My fear is that it was probably pretty shallow based on what we see later. But they abandoned him. You ever been abandoned by family? It's awful. It's a horrible feeling. We can't talk to you. We don't want to be around you for whatever reason. He was abandoned. He was sold off. He was never sought after. I tell you what, if anybody was entitled to a little bit of their anger, it was Joseph. And not only that, but he was put into this position where not only was he abused, not only was he abandoned, but he was accused of things he never did. Over something he would have thought to do. Potiphar's wife sitting there making up these lies on him. He didn't have a choice. He ran, he got out of there in his mind. I'm not doing this. He did the right thing and was accused anyway. And after that, what happens? Rejection. All the stuff he did for Potiphar, all the way that he put the business together, all the blessings God blessed that house with because of Joseph. Potiphar said, never mind all that. Put him in jail. And you got to think, you're sitting in jail for something you didn't do. And you were put into that position by a bunch of men who were upset at you for, again, something you didn't do. He didn't deserve any of that. I mean, again, I'm sure Joseph had his sins and his faults. Almost everybody who ever make it in the Bible had a serious sin or a fault about them one way or the other. Because we are all sinners and we've all got it. You better believe Joseph had the right to be bitter. There are people who harbor bitterness against their parents for not taking them on enough vacations or letting them dye their hair whatever color they want or not buying them the fanciest of technology. Oh, do you know how terrible my parents were? We never went to Disneyland. You know what? We never went to Disneyland. We went out to the woods of my grandparents' house. And I tell you what, you put that together, you get a little hot dogs and hamburgers for dinner. You get a bologna sandwich for lunch. Maybe we'll have some cereal or something for breakfast. If you're even thinking about that, normally you just stumble out of bed and you go run out. Right? We had a blast. Right? But yet I grew up with people. My parents were awful. They never did it. They never took us to expensive places. They spend time with you? Well, yeah. They acknowledge your existence? Yeah. They fill your belly? Yeah. And make sure the lights were on? Yeah. Your parents loved you. They took care of you. I got people in my life never thought once to say, I love you. But you know what they did? Made sure my belly was full. Did a good job. Looked in on me when I was messing up. Looked in on me when I was having a hard time. Looked in on me when I had problems. Maybe once or twice ever showed any kind of verbal affection to me. But I tell you what, the love language was spoken. Right? Hey, I'm there. I never often heard the phrase, I'm proud of you. I never often heard it, but I tell you what, I was surrounded by people who took an interest. Maybe they didn't know the proper words that they were supposed to say, but they didn't know that there would be a test later on it. See, so many people, they get bitter over little things. Joseph had all these big reasons. I mean, even think about it. You know, I'm sure we could preach so many sermons to teach us lessons about Joseph's father. We could go on and on and on about all the ways God blessed that family line. But he was a bad dad. He was. You know, I joke about this with my kids, but I tell you what, it is a joke. I'll sit there in front of Xander. I'll go, Xander, I want to tell you this. I love all my boys the same. And it drives him nuts. Because he knows that he didn't, he'll correct me. You keep saying all your boys and not all your children. That's right. I love all my boys the same. I love all my girls the same. You know, again, the look he's giving me right now. He goes, Dad, you're messing up. He goes, I know what you're doing. No, it's, I love all my kids the same. You do for one, you do for them all. That's it. Now listen, sometimes you can't do for them all at the same time. Right? At a certain age, you get certain things. As you grow up, you hit those markers, you get those things. But what Jacob did, you know what? Because I loved your mom, and I turned my phone off. Because I loved your mom more than I loved their mom, here's a coat. That wasn't Joseph's fault. And I'll tell you what, that stuck for those other kids. That's true. Right? Some of them were, if you follow it, some of them may have been closer to adult age there. They should have had maturity. They should have been. But that's a hard thing for a child to process, no matter how old you are. That because granddaddy tricked you, you love me less than maybe you love him. That's a hard thing to process. Right? We can sit there, we can probably try to psychoanalyze this whole case. But the fact of the matter is this. It was wrong for them to have done what they did. There's no reason to hurt each other. There's no reason to put each other into this kind of a situation. And Joseph, with all of this riding on him, I didn't ask for my daddy to get the wrong bride at first. I didn't ask for those 14 years to be laid on my dad. I didn't ask for him to love me more. I didn't ask for this coat of many colors. I didn't ask for this trouble. I didn't ask for the jail time. I didn't want any of this. But he didn't look at them and decide, this is how I take it back. Hey, who's stronger, Earl or Jack? Jack, come here. For the record, Earl, he pointed to you. Always remember your big brother loves you like that. Jack, come here for a second. Here's the thing. Pick that up. Hold this. Just like that. Hold it. You can push it against your body. Now, here's the thing. You put that down, I lose. Okay? All right, there's big old bowl of goldfish back there. Those little chewy, crispy ones. Multiple colors, super unhealthy. You hang on to that, you win that. You put it down, I win. See, we hang on to our bitterness like this. Now, here's the thing. He puts that down, I lose. But really, look how comfortable I am right now. Who was the one who put the chair in his hands? Me! Who's comfortable and happy right now? Me! Can you clap? Now hold on. Whatever's in here, if you catch it, it's yours. All right, can you do your chores? Can you do your schoolwork? This is pretty much all you got right now, isn't it? That stinks. That's bitterness. And we think we're winning. You understand? We think that the longer we hold this, thank you, you can go sit down. We think that the longer we hang on to the faults, the longer we hang on to the litany of woes people have done to us, we win. Because if I ever let them off the hook, they'll think they've won. But in all actuality, we all lose. And the person who deserves it the most is out there wandering around without a care in their heart over what happened. Joseph sat there, and I'm sure there was these thoughts as he was in the jail cell. Sure there was these thoughts as he was in the pit, as he was sitting there working in Potiphar's house. I'm sure he had this thought, I can hate them, or I can see what God's doing. Now again, this does not diminish pain. It hurts when people do bad things. That is the fact. When people are angry at you, as Jesus said, when they revile you, when they despitefully use you, right? It hurts. It doesn't minimize the pain. What we're talking about here with forgiveness is it doesn't prolong or worsen it. Because what I'm doing, when I choose to have the right to be bitter, is I'm digging the knife in deeper. I am hanging on to it. I can't pull this bitterness out, because if I do, there'll be no evidence that I was ever wronged. What a foolish thing. That we would emotionally bleed to death instead of offering forgiveness. That instead of looking to see what God had intended for us to do all along, right? We hang on to that knife in our chest. Right? Sometimes the knife's in the chest, sometimes it's in the back, and that stinks too. Now, how dare you? Right? I'm sure we've all had cheap shots thrown at us. I'm sure we've all been bullied in one time or another. We've all had issues. Don't choose bitterness. We talk about our rights. Well, I have the right to do this. Yeah, but is it good? Is it a good thing? I think of my grandma. My grandma, for whatever reason, got the idea. Now, I don't know if you probably never met my grandma. My grandma sits around 4'8", 4'9". She's little bitty. And the longer she lives, the ittier, bittier she gets. She got the idea that at 4'9", and in her late 60s, going into her early 70s, what she needed was a Siberian Husky puppy. Oh, yeah. That was a good idea. Now, I sit there, and I'm talking to a relative, and does she have the right to go get a Siberian Husky puppy? Yes, she does. Grandma can have whatever she wants. She's grandma. But does this monstrous ball of energy do her any good? No, it knocked her over so many times. You put that thing on a leash, and it does what huskies do when you harness them up. It pulls. She had the hardest time with that thing. And you know what? Yes, you have the right. But is that thing more of a disaster than it is a help? That's what bitterness is. Well, I've got to grow something. It shouldn't be bitterness. The Bible tells us we don't even want the root of bitterness. Right? We're getting into springtime. How do you pull a weed? You just rip the head of the weed off, right? No, you get the whole root out. Why? Because what happens if you leave the root? It comes back. It comes back. Right? All right, fine. I'll forgive you. We'll talk. You can come back to work. You can come back to the family things. All right, I'll see you at church. All right, I'll see you down there at the diner. Yes, fine. But we never actually plant forgiveness. We never actually get the whole root out. We hang on to, but you were wrong. You know what? They were wrong. And you know what? You're wrong sometimes too. We pull out the whole thing. We pull out the whole thing. Yes, we have the right, but it is a dumb right to hang on to. Why? Because bitterness at its very heart is a foolish thing. Bitterness does not hurt the person you refuse to forgive. It chains you to them. Where they go, you can't. Where they are happy, you must be miserable. Forgiveness cuts the ties. It sets both you and them free from the thing. Some carry around their bitterness like it's a definition of themselves. I heard this expression and I almost wanted to cry and give the person a hug and a puppy at the same time. They go, I am as my trauma made me. Don't let trauma do that to you. We're going to let the horrible things that happen to us define us? Now look at me. I don't say that arrogantly. I've had some bad things happen. I've had some nights where I've stayed up over some history. You understand? I've been there. Where there's been pain and there's been frustration. And I've sat there and I've let that stuff change how I see myself. And I'm telling you now, don't do it. Right, this isn't a flippant, uncaring thing when I say, don't let the bad stuff define you. You gotta put the forgiveness in there. Because just as you are a sinner at your core, you're surrounded by sinners at your core. Life is hard enough without letting the past define who you are. Well, my parents used to yell at me and spank me. Yeah, but what you do now is your choice. Now listen, my parents used to holler and spank at it in a certain connotation. That does a trip. It does. Right? There were times in my life I did not quite understand what mom and dad were trying to tell me. You know what kept me in line? And so one day dad could sit me down and say, listen, blockhead, let me explain this to you. He never called me blockhead, but that's what I heard him. That's what I heard him thinking. Right? My dad could say things without saying them. This is what you're not getting. Right? And explain it. And then finally you hit that age and you go, oh, yep, I will get hit by a car. All right. What happens? Oh, you don't understand. There was this abuse. No, I understand abuse. Joseph understood abuse. We all understand abuse. Everybody walks around with different levels of it. The point is not that it doesn't exist nor never has. The point is that there's a way past it. There's a way through it. There's a way to grow around it. So that we're not expecting this day where we wake up and there's no pain from the incident. We're not expecting a day where we wake up and we don't remember what happened. The point is that we continue to build and build better. And you know what? Those little moments, those little hollowed spots, the broken, cracked bricks of the thing that happened becomes a hallowed spot, becomes a holy place where you can go back and say, Lord, this was a time that could have ate up my life, but you preserved me. Lord, this was a time where I didn't understand any of the things that were going on around me, but you helped me. You continued to let me grow. Oh boy. If we could push past bitterness, if we could refuse to let what people do to us change us. You look at that passage of scripture that says, when somebody strikes you, you turn the other cheek. Many people would sit there and say, well, that sounds very passive. It doesn't sound like I'm standing up for myself. I saw that happen one time. Two men were in an argument or fighting. One guy just lets him have it. It goes like this. He turns his head. It was the toughest looking thing I've ever seen. Because that hit hurt me and I was on the other side of the room. Right? It was the toughest thing I've ever seen. You know what it says? No matter what you did over here, didn't bother me. That's tough. Listen, I know you just threw something at me. I know you just burned me. I know you just stung me. I know you just wounded me. But God gave me a way of getting past this. Here's your knife back. Here's your wound back. I forgive you. That thing you hit me with, don't worry, I cleaned up the mess. Here you go. What is it that God gives us to help us to push past so we can get where Joseph was? Number one, we have those verses that tell us about forgiveness, and to deny that is to disobey God. Is to not only just disobey God, but to hurt yourself. Right? You ever see those kids just go running out into the parking lots? I drive 2 miles an hour going through a parking lot most of the time because I'm terrified of that. And all of a sudden there'll be this toddler come zooming out into the street. It's terrifying. You know what? They disobeyed their mom. They disobeyed their dad. And they put themselves willfully in a place to get more hurt. And you kind of sit there and you go, ooh. And you're shook up and you're bothered for the rest of the day by this. Because you watch somebody disobey their parent to put themselves into a position to be more hurt. It's foolish. It's even more foolish when we as adults do it. It really is. And I think, what kind of an attitude does God have when he sees us do that, where he says, listen, you got to have forgiveness or you'll only make it worse. You got to have forgiveness or the Heavenly Father won't forgive you. You've got to have forgiveness or you're just going to dig the wound in deeper. And he sits there and he watches us go, you know what? Not only am I not going to forgive him, but I'm going to shake up this whole situation. I'm going to make the whole day about me. I'm going to cause tons of trouble. I wonder what God's attitude is towards us when we do that. Is he like that parent that comes out and grabs the child? We need to be real glad that God's not the kind of God that lets, all right, fine, go out there, get hit by a car, I don't care. Because Because I've met those kind of parents too. As a matter of fact, I remember we were in the apartment community. I'm sitting there. I'm working on stuff. I'm getting things out of my van. And there's this kid comes running across. And I just heard the dad sitting there from the porch. Get hit by a car. I'm not telling you again. Whew. Come here, kid. Come on. Come on. Dad might kill you. Seriously, we put ourselves into danger. We put ourselves at risk. And not only that, but we do all of that for what? To hurt worse. And we think we're getting away with something, and we're not. And we think that we're winning, but we're not. You disobey God, you hurt yourself, you damage the relationships of others, and you ignore God's plan for when you fall into contention with people. Matthew 5:23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. You know what God's saying there? I don't even want to see the gift unless you got your relationships right. Go get it right. We see in other passages of Scripture where it is the responsibility of the person who does the wrong to go clean up the mess. We see here in the passage of Scripture where if anybody's done wrong against you, it's your responsibility to go and clean up the mess. What's the answer here? Everybody cleans up the mess. Everybody. And I tell you what, there are some hurts that are easy to take care of, where it's almost like I bumped into you, you bumped into me, I say I'm sorry, you say I'm sorry, I say have a good day, you say have a good day, we move on. But no, there are grown people fighting over that kind of a business. He disrespected me by not moving. Well, he disrespected me by not moving. Well, yeah, now you're back, both in the back of a cop car. Isn't that wonderful? Who's the winner now? Right? People get into fist fights. Well, he started it. No, he started it. Well, you're both bleeding, so... yay. You're well. Now, sometimes there are the deeper hurts. There are the deeper wounds. There are the abuses that go far past anything that we might even be able to put to words. Do not compound the issue. I met somebody who was abused in one of the worst ways you could possibly imagine. Stared at the person who did the abusing and said, I forgive you. That person's testimony years later was this. I saw them in the grocery store. And I looked over at him and I expected fear. I expected anxiety. I expected all the things that you would expect to when you see that person out. And that person went to jail. They didn't know that they had gotten out of jail. Saw them at the grocery store. I did not know he was this close. I did not know he was here. You know what they felt when they worked on that forgiveness? Nothing. Now you speak to anybody who's ever felt abuse like that. That's not how you feel. That's not the normal. That's not the natural. Only godly forgiveness can set you free like that. What are you saying, that that creep deserves forgiveness? Are you saying that people that abuse people that way deserve forgiveness? No! But it is never about who deserves forgiveness. If we deserve forgiveness, we wouldn't need forgiveness. Forgiveness is about you and God. Very seldom is it about the other person. Very seldom is it about the other person. God, I'm going to forgive them because you forgive me. And whether they accept that forgiveness, whether they want that forgiveness, that's between you and them. But my part's done. I'm going to finish up my side. I'm going to lay it at your feet. And Lord, I pray you grant me grace, grant me strength, grant me healing. We go to him in prayer. We have those conversations. Hey, listen, we get some counseling, some biblical counseling, to see how we enact forgiveness, to see how we get past those things. It's an important tool. It's a viable tool, something we need. We put all those things into practice. What does God's word say? How do I do it? And then there's the prayer and the giving our hearts over to God so real forgiveness can take place. I want you to consider for a second what it was that Joseph named his two sons. Do you know? Bible study question. What did he name his two sons? First one was Manasseh. Wonder what Manasseh means? When he's sitting there describing to these Egyptians, I wonder, what's your son's name? Manasseh. What does it mean? For God, said he, this is from the passage. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. I laid it at God's feet. I looked at it from God's point of view. And God made me forget. Now does that mean, whoop, it's out of his memory. It doesn't wake him up. No, he remembered it happening. What he forgot wasn't the details. What he forgot was the pain. He forgot the pain of being left inside while his brothers went out to play. He forgot the pain of their jeering and their hatred towards him as he described the dreams that he had. He forgot the day they stripped him of his cloak, stripped him of his coat, threw him into the pit, sold him into slavery. He forgot the fear from the jail sentence and the accusation. He forgot the boredom and just the lack of dignity that jail cell would have brought him. He forgot it all. He was able to let it go. Not the memory. Not what it cost him. He forgot the pain. He forgot everything that came with it. Now I tell you what, if you've ever had to hang on to something, it's good to let it go. Now Jack, I bet you could have held this chair until tomorrow, I bet. But me, the longer I hang on to something, the heavier it gets. You ever been? Just, hands start to shake. We used to do that when we'd go to the gym. We'd just sit there and hold the weights to see how long you can hold the weights in different ways to see who'd crack first, right? Just your hands start to shake. It compounds the pain, the discomfort. It compounds the longer you hang on to it. You know what happens when you decide I'm going to let some forgiveness in? Feels better. I don't have to sit there and race across the room when you walk in. I don't have to sit there late up at night deciding what it is that you did to me, how that changes how I see myself. Because how I see myself is written by God, not by what somebody can do to me. And that's the case. It is a much happier existence, a much better existence. You know what he named his second child? He named his second child Ephraim. God hath caused me to be fruitful. Now that's not the full definition. We're going to get back to that full definition for a second. You got to keep in mind that while Joseph is naming his children, he's naming his children in Egypt. Now from the Egyptians' point of view, if anybody knew his story, and by the way, nobody knew the full extent of his story except for perhaps Pharaoh, but nobody understood the whole deal, the whole gamut, because he called them out of the room when those brothers came. He didn't want anybody to know, but here he is with his sons, and he's naming them these names, and they're not Egyptian names. Why you name your sons? Why you name your sons those? Those are the names my people use. Why would you use the names of your people? Your people sold you into slavery. Your people didn't really care for you. You're here. You were poor with your people. You were hated with your people. But you're over here in Egypt now, man. You're like, maybe some Egyptian's name. I mean, we gave you a brand new name. We gave you a brand new wife. We gave you all this money, all this power, all this discretion. Don't you think it'd be a little bit over there? No. He even goes so far when he names Ephraim, Ephraim, as God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Could you imagine that when you're holding the baby? Oh, what'd you name your baby? Oh, God made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. What? You mean our land? Yeah. Aren't you rich? Why don't you drive around in that second chariot? Aren't you like Pharaoh, Joseph? Like, all right, man, here's your baby back. No. That was his attitude. God not only caused me to forget the pain, to let go of the things, but God made me fruitful in spite of it. And not just in spite of it, but because of it. One of the worst days of my life, I reached out to somebody who went through the exact same thing I went through. And they cried. And I cried. And they had thoughts. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to figure out yet. They had advice I wasn't ready to dig out of the Bible yet. They were able to give those things to me. From a place of their pain, they learned. They grew. And that's how I knew to go to them. Because you found a way to carry it without it dragging you down. So I went to them and they were able to give me advice. They were able to give me the words that I needed. And I took that home to my wife. And you know what we were able to do? We were able to grow a little bit better beyond it. We were able to sit there and say, listen, this is garbage. This is a horrible situation. But it's not who we are. It does not define us. And what we're going to do is we're going to continue to grow. It's going to hurt. It's going to sting. But we're going to be able to grow past this. We're going to be able to heal from this. We're going to be able to, whatever form of life God meant for us to have, we'll have it. May not be the way that I thought I should have it, but I'll have it the way He thought I should have it. And I tell you what, I look back, and there have been times where I've reached out to people that went through the same kind of things that Danielle and I went through. And you know what? You know what I wish I could do? I wish I could just carry something in my pocket that when somebody's feeling emotional pain, you know, I just whoosh, wave it over and make it go away. That'd be so nice, wouldn't it? But that's not what I had to give them. What I have is the same advice somebody gave to me. Maybe a little bit more that I dug out through my study and could recall. Maybe a little bit different. Maybe I worded it a little bit different because they're brilliant and I'm not, you know. I was able to help. And you know what? It didn't take away the fact that it happened. It didn't take away the fact, or in any situation, it doesn't take away the fact that either somebody did something to you or something just naturally happened. It didn't take those things away. But you're able to grow with it. And you forget the pain. And all of a sudden, you're able to be fruitful. You know that you've chosen forgiveness. When you get into these positions where you see that bitterness is growing and you're able to remove it. And we use that illustration there of his son's names to prove that point. That he was in that position. And to prove his point of forgiveness, he named his sons what he named them. They have the names of my people. I didn't reject my people. My brothers rejected me. I didn't reject them. I did what was right. I applied forgiveness. I was everywhere God meant for me to be, and I did my best in that situation to bring Him honor and glory, and God dumped the blessings out on me. And yes, the road was rough at patches. Yes, there were some things I wish I could change, but every step, whether it was happy or sad, rough or easy, led me to this place. And now, in this particular kind of famine, they were saving almost the entire known world. I'm in a position where I can turn around and help. So you'll know when you can get in the middle of a position where there's bitterness, you see the root and you rip it up. Woohoo! Don't want you. Get out of here. You're right, I am bitter. You know what normally happens when you try to ask people, now are you experiencing some bitterness? I'm not bitter! Okay. Gotcha, buddy. That's exactly how I sound when I'm not bitter. Some people can be as bitter as I like my coffee. It's not the way you want to be. So I see, you know what, I say it's not bitterness, I say it's separation, I say it's protection, but it's bitterness. You'll know it when you can see it when it's happening and make the move to rip it up. You'll know that you've chosen forgiveness over bitterness when you choose not to pick it up in the first place. There were many moments in Joseph's life where he had a choice. I can let this change me or I can change the situation. Right? Not twist it, not ignore it, not pretend it's not happening. But when I could sit there and say, all right, I've got a choice between really letting this guy have it or forgiveness. Or really letting my anger and my rejection of what just happened to me change me. Or I can apply copious amounts of forgiveness. Joseph chose it time and time again. And guess what? There's the forgiveness. I mean, he had these guys dead to rights. Could you imagine? This is every story ever written. He climbs to the height of success. He's got rings on his hands. He's got guards in the room. And here are these 10 monsters that did all this other stuff. I'm leaving Benjamin out of the discussion on purpose. Right? If you're doing the math in your head, I'm leaving one out. He could have done all... Guess what, boys? Because of all this, you're scooping the corn. Because of all this, you're cleaning the donkey slop. You're out there cleaning with the camels. Because of all this, you get to walk all the way back to your dad with no food. And I'll send a chariot to bring dad over. I'll take dad and Benjamin, but you guys can go out there and feed the donkeys for all I care. He could have done any of that. Guards, kill these guys. They're foreigners. They've insulted Pharaoh. Get them out of here. He could have done any of that. What did he do? Come here. Come close. Come close. He chose not to pick it up. Oh, and I'll give you this, the real test, the really good test. Go to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. I'll give you, if you really want to test bitterness in your heart, if you really want to see if that root is still there, I'm going to start in verse 17. So shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. You see, what had happened is dad died. And all of a sudden, the brothers, they start to remember, they go, maybe all this forgiveness stuff was because he didn't want to get in trouble with Pop. Maybe the reason why he was so kind is because he wanted to make sure he got a hold of Dad and Benjamin. And now that Dad's gone, we're in trouble. So what do? They come before him and they beg him, oh, please, for Dad and for forgiveness, I serve us. Oh, please forgive us. And again, here's Joseph. He's got another chance, man. There ain't no one in Egypt going to say boo about him getting rid of these guys. Verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Here's the test. When you got a shot to take them out and you don't do it and you love them and care for them instead. That's not a magic trick. That's not a pill they sell in the marketplace. That's true godly forgiveness. When you can let it go once and years later when you got the chance to bury the axe in the back of their back, right? And you still don't do it because you still love them. And you still care for them. And again, you not only just feel nothing. You feel love and compassion. Oh, Joseph looks at his brothers. You still don't get it, do you? You don't get it. You meant to hurt me. You meant to destroy me. But God had bigger plans than you did. You didn't know that you were giving into his plans. You didn't know about the famine. You didn't know about the plenteous years. You didn't know about Pharaoh needing some advice. You didn't know about the baker. You didn't know about Potiphar. You didn't know any of this stuff. All the things God brought me through to put me into this place, you knew none of it. God knew it all. And now they're looking at him. Surely, this root of bitterness grew into the world's biggest tree in his heart. Now that Dad's gone, we're dead. No, you don't get it. That don't hurt me. I grew up better because of it. That's how you win. Not by holding on to the hurts. Not by collecting all of the little post-it notes. All you did this. It's by practicing forgiveness. so that while you can hurt me for a second, it's my choice not to hurt for any longer than that. While I can get upset about something that happened and suffer for this long, you better believe I'm not going to choose to take longer and suffer longer. I mean, honestly, who in their right mind getting a root canal will tell their dentist, you know what, Doc, take your time. Anybody ever do that? If you do, don't tell me. I don't want to talk to you. That's weird, man. No, no, seriously, Doc, use the old tools. Oh, you didn't sharpen them? That's fine. That's fine. I'll go down. We don't do that! Abba forbidden this. We'll prolong the suffering while we'll hang on to that stuff. No, let it go. We need our Manasseh moments. We need our Ephraim moments. Where we can look by and say, look, in the land of my affliction, God gave me growth. When everything I picked up from my youth in my father's house was pain, I remember none of it. So Heavenly Father, Lord,